Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Great service department there for you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, all backed up by a terrific sales staff that is also there for you to make sure you have the right deal that is right for you. They're not there just to get there and get the sale all done, all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Got another loaded show coming up today in a little bit, in a few minutes, once Steve gets in from the Penn State quarterback club, finishing that up with James Franklin and company. We're going to talk to Chris Soleri of the Detroit Free Press. Of course, covers Michigan State football and men's basketball. He's been all over this Mel Tucker situation that's been going on, as he's now suspended without pay with the sexual harassment allegations against him. So he will join us with the very latest on that in a couple minutes. And then we'll have NBC Sports Philly's Dave Zangaro joining us at 2:45 today as the Eagles and the Vikings get set for Thursday night football tomorrow night on Amazon Prime Video at the Lynx, a home opener for the Eagles, of course. Vikings coming off a tough loss to the Bucks on opening day and for week one. And, of course, the Eagles coming off the 25-21 against the Patriots. So that sets the stage, and there's a lot of injury concerns for the Eagles, too. So we'll get into Dave about that at 2:45 today. Nick Sirianni didn't really make any final implications just yet. That report should come out, I believe, later today, if not tomorrow, obviously, with the game being tomorrow night. But there's a couple big concerns for the Eagles. Of course, James Bradberry is still in concussion protocol. Obviously, we know about N'Kobe Dean already being out for probably at least a month with the foot injury. Looks like Fletcher Cox will be good to go, but two other people have popped up this week that may not be ready to go for tomorrow night, and that's Reed Blankenship at safety and Kenny Gainwell at running back. Now, running back, that doesn't concern me too much because you've got a whole other host of characters that can handle the load without Gainwell, though, of course, Gainwell obviously is a big part of this offense now, but the one that always worries me the most is Reed Blankenship, because this is a guy, obviously, that came in as an undrafted rookie, and he's just taken off and has become one of the big keys to the secondary. But now you're going to be without Bradberry, most likely. And if you're out without Blankenship, that's a big hit to the secondary when you're about to face guys like Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison had a huge game in his NFL regular season debut, the rookie from Pitt and USC. You got T.J. Hockenson at tight end. And if you get Kirk Cousins' time and the Eagles' pass rush doesn't has a slow start again like it did Sunday, that's not going to be an easy game. That worries me for the Eagles tomorrow as far as the shape of the secondary facing that passing game for the Vikings. So I'm curious to see what we hear from Dave at 2:45 today. So that's all coming up. Tomorrow's show, we're going to do the King with Picks for the week at 1:35 tomorrow. Then we have our high school football roundtable at 2:06. And then NBC Sports' Peter King will join us. We tried to get him on last week. Circumstances didn't work out with a couple personal matters he had. So he will join us tomorrow at 2:45. So that's what we got coming up for you the rest of the week. And speaking of high school football, I'm sure most of you know by now the unfortunate update that was put out by Jersey Shore Area School District in the early evening yesterday regarding Max Engel, who was the football player who collapsed at Selins Grove last week with 11 seconds to go in regulation, happened on the sideline. Game was called, and the game ended in a 21-21 tie. Well, the district put out late yesterday afternoon that Engel's condition rapidly declining, medical prognosis not good, and so that is tough news to hear for the not only for the Jersey Shore community but this entire area in District 4. So I'm sure the guys will be addressing that a little bit tomorrow. But that was the latest word that we heard from the Jersey Shore Area School District yesterday. So did want to pass along that just in case if you didn't see that. No other updates been given since early in the evening yesterday. So Steve on his way in into the Sunbury Motor Studio from the Penn State Quarterback Club. And next, we'll hear from Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press on Michigan State and the whole Mel Tucker situation. That's coming up here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. Quarterback Club today, so sometimes they run a little long. Puts pressure on Matt to showcase all of his great broadcasting skills. So let's go now to Michigan. And from the Detroit Free Press, the great Chris Solari has joined us so often. Well, Chris, never a dull day. How are things going for you?
Never a dull day around here. Never a dull year around here, quite honestly. Doing well. I was able to get back to Butler for my 30-year reunion before the season began, so that was a nice touch. That was
very nice. Very nice.
Other than that, everything that was the pinnacle, and now it's all downward spiral.
Yeah. I know you'd like to write about personalities and games. These aren't the things you want to write about. Michigan State had this in hand July 25th. They claimed there was new information. Am I being cynical when I think the new information is somebody got a hold of the report and they had to say something?
You know, I think the new information is that the USA Today story came out, and I think they were not very clear about that because then they weren't very clear about the process. The way that those investigations are supposed to work is essentially whoever is the boss of the employee accused of the things that Mel Tucker was accused about, which would be the athletic director, Alan Haller, is supposed to know that there is an ongoing investigation from the OIE office or Title IX office into your employee, and that's supposed to be the only details they know. And, you know, which is, you know, I don't believe in it. The interim university president said that Haller did not have a copy of the report in hand for any of those details, and that the details were learned by the powers that be when the USA Today story came out early Sunday morning.
And as somebody, because of what I do here at Penn State between teaching and so forth, I've had to take the Title IX test. So I do understand the process. I just don't understand that when the report is done, like it's July 25th, why it was kept under lock and key from people. Because at some point you have to make a decision, don't you?
Well, but the report is only part of the process. The hearing was the next step in the process, which isn't scheduled until October 5th and 6th, which happened to be Michigan State's bye week, which would have been the first availability for Tucker to more or less go for the hearing. Had it got to that point where he was still not suspended and operating the football program as business as usual. So that's the reason why, while the investigation from the outside third-party attorney from Ann Arbor, who handles Title IX cases, they contracted it out for her to do the investigation. Just because the third-party investigation was complete, okay, didn't mean the process was complete, because they still had the hearing, and they still have the hearing scheduled for October 5th and 6th.
Okay. Perception means a lot. What does the perception of this do for Mel Tucker?
I mean, you've read the allegations, right?
Yep.
I mean, in the process here, working in Gannett and USA Today Network, you know, I was let known that there would be a story coming, and the details of it, to me, were pretty fact of the matter that it was going to get embarrassing personally and professionally for Tucker and for the university, not just the details in it, but knowing the past history of things that have happened at Michigan State, from Nassar to many of the other sexual assault and harassment things that have gone on around here outside of the athletic department. So there's, you know, the embarrassment factor and the professional factor to me are there. I mean, Tucker's response, and I've heard this from a few sources, that more or less it's good. It's just a matter of when. There's going to be a parting away. So it's the when and how. Is it going to be fired with cause and the university tries to get out from under the remaining portion of that 10-year, $95 million deal entirely, which is going to end up being fought over in court? Or will they reach some sort of agreement between either now and that hearing, or after the hearing is adjudicated? You know, it's an OIE investigation. So, you know, when the university gets those details, they could move then, or they could negotiate a buyout of pennies on the dollar for it, and work on a non-disclosure agreement so he wouldn't talk about it. So there's a lot of moving parts, I think, still here before the ultimate separation takes place. And, you know, they could also, in that negotiation process, work it out so Tucker resigns.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things beyond simply saying, when are they going to fire Mel Tucker? How long is it going to take? There's still a lot of things to come with that.
Well, look, there's still, if my math is right, about $77 million left on this thing.
Somewhere in that range.
Right in their range. So there's, quote, a lot for him to fight for, and there's a lot for Michigan State to negotiate for if they decide to go that route. Fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, there's a lot on both parties, you know, from the other ends, too, in terms of, are you going to be able to, how from Michigan State's side, trying to get as much out of it, and also then determining, is it worth firing for him for cause to try and get out from under it, and cheaper to go into a protracted legal battle and try and bleed him in terms of, you know, monetarily a long fight for a coach that thought he had $95 million in his bank and doesn't now.
Harlan Bennett is going to be the interim head coach, but Mark D'Antonio takes a role within the staff. How interested are you in that angle of it?
Very. You know, Harlan Barnett is a guy who was on D'Antonio's staff, served as a co-defensive coordinator, played here in college under George Perlis, and his defensive coordinator here was a guy by the name of Nick Saban, I think a few people have heard of. Then he also played for Nick Saban as his defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns in the early 1990s under a guy that some people may have heard of, this Belichick guy.
Yeah.
So he's got a pedigree. This guy's got a pedigree and has been around some of the arguably two of the best coaches in the NFL and college football history, as well as the coach who has been around Michigan State. Many would argue that D'Antonio's the best, you know, with Biggie Munn and Duffy Daugherty at Michigan State history.
Yeah.
And bringing back D'Antonio is really interesting because, one, the way he left in February 4th of 2020, after collecting his bonus and right the day before signing day and after the coaches' meetings that they have annually where you can usually find new coaches and find assistants and all those things, it left a sour taste in a lot of people's opinions of him at Michigan State. But those have seemed to vanish in the situation that's come now. They took 8 days from the time D'Antonio resigned to when Mel Tucker was hired. And, you know, that was a quick turnaround and obviously a lot of twists and turns with Luke Fickell reportedly having the offer to take the job and his wife declining it, which gave Tucker that opportunity.
Yeah.
So D'Antonio, I think, is going to be interesting what his role is. They said he's going to have a headset on. Harlan yesterday said that a lot of it will be the calming presence of having him around, and I think the conciliary role in a lot of ways where he will bounce ideas off him. I'm curious to see what changes, because he did say that they've talked changes. So do they change schematics to go back to the 4-3 that D'Antonio is familiar with press corners? Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, both of those guys are very familiar with it, but I don't know about the rest of that staff because they've had guys that there's been a lot of changeover since Mark was there. So certainly a lot of things and we're hoping to get D'Antonio before the Washington game on Saturday, maybe on Thursday. But they've got a lot of things they're probably ironing out there, so I don't think that's it's a tumultuous week as to be expected here, and we're not getting any players until the game after the game, so there's a whole other side of this that needs to be told. But it's you go from celebrating moving to 2-0 and Mel Tucker after the game saying we ended our celebration in the locker room because we're ready and preparing for Washington to not even 24 hours, Mel Tucker's gone. The kids are left trying to figure out in the process, and Harlan Barnett takes over.
Yeah. In fact, I was at the press conference when Mark officially stepped down because they were playing Penn State basketball that night.
That's right.
I remember the mood in there, and I remember the look on Mark's face. And the look on Mark's face was, I don't want to do this. I'm doing it. Right, but you could tell just by body language, he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, this is, to me, you know, Alan Howell, the athletic director, I asked him about this on Sunday, you know, how this came about with, you know, Harlan and Mark, and he said he called D'Antonio on Sunday, and D'Antonio told him, I quote, Alan, anything I can do to help, I'm here for you. There's no chance to me that was the first kind of conversation they had about this.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a 67-year-old guy who's in retirement. I would imagine he'd had to run up by his wife. You're not going to just all of a sudden hang up the phone and say, honey, I'll see you in 12 weeks. I'm going to coach football.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, and one thing that Alan Howell did say is he has contingency plans in mind at all times. You know, and you have to, particularly after the Tucker situation in 21 where LSU came in and made the overtures. I mean, if he leaves, if those were legitimate and he got an offer and left, they had to have a contingency plan for the moment and for long term. So that's what any athletic director will do. And for a guy like D'Antonio to still be in the good graces of the university, I believe at one point he was on a personal services contract. And I don't know if that's still continued. I can't remember the parameters and length of it. But if he's still being paid, certainly there's something there. So, yeah, it's a chaotic and tumultuous time here. But, you know, I think getting to the Washington game is, I mean, it's a big game. It's going to be interesting to see. Michigan State in really gets a little bit of cover for it not being on national TV.
Right.
It's going to just be streamed on a Peacock. So the first time that's happened here, and it's a big game against Washington. So yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating Saturday, that's for sure.
And one final question. I'm going to take you to the Southeast. Michigan became the first team in the history of college football, I believe, to announce that they, or at least let everybody know, it's a four-game suspension. And then the NCAA says no, and then so Michigan then reduced it to three. Is there anything else that you're looking at in this Harbaugh situation other than he's done it three and the NCAA is just letting it happen?
I think that the NCAA will probably look to add more. It'll be interesting because if they do add more and if Michigan feels there'll be more added, what's it going to go? Is it going to expand to six games so we'll get three games this year against non-conference opponents and three games next year against non-conference opponents?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the fairness in that? And how do you adjudicate it? And, again, we talk about guys that might be going back to the NFL. Is Harbaugh even going to be there at this time next year? I mean, that's always a legitimate question. But what's going to be wild? And think about this. Both of those programs this weekend are going to be led by interim coaches.
Yeah. I'm crazy.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
Nope. How crazy is that? And that's exactly what's going to happen. You know what's really fun? When you and I actually get a chance to talk about games and players.
Yeah, I thought for sure you were reaching out to me to talk about the Richmond game.
And I had a lot of really great Richmond questions.
Yeah. Well, most people do, but I'm telling you, though, the Washington game, I've kind of made this analogy because I had no idea. You know, we spoke before the season. I didn't know what to kind of expect with this team. I kind of projected them to go 6-6. This team right now, I mean, there are no expectations anymore, right?
Right.
So how do you play? I mean, you could come out. Like, what if they end up being like, what if Harlan Barnett is Lou Brown and this Michigan State team becomes the Cleveland Indians in Major League? That's the analogy I keep going back to. Because you got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's expecting anything now.
Would you like to be the head coach, Harlan? No, I've got the Lube job coming up and also a tire change at 4 o'clock. So.
Oh, man. But that's what I'm – I mean, you know, this Washington team's good. We all know what Michael Penix is from his time at Indiana.
Yeah.
Michigan State especially. That's the other thing is Michael Penix torched Mark D'Antonio's defense in 2019. He torched Harlan Barnett in 2020 when he was still at Indiana and sat out the 21 year because he was hurt and then torched him again last year out at Washington. So it's not like there isn't a compelling football thing going on either this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the wild thing is, here's the funny thing. D'Antonio was supposed to be back this weekend anyways because they're celebrating the 2013 Rose Bowl and Big Ten title team.
Yeah.
10-year anniversary.
Right. And then here's the other side story. And then the other side story is Washington's in the conference next year.
That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Well.
Well.
It's like never a dull moment, right?
No shortage of material.
Yeah, no kidding. But I do think this isn't gonna be one of those things with Mel Tucker that's gonna be done in an instant. It's still gonna drag out for at least the next month, possibly longer.
Mercy. Okay. Chris, always a pleasure. Maybe next time, just for a couple of laughs, we'll talk about the players in the game.
Yeah, and maybe we'll see each other in Detroit, remember?
Yes.
They're not playing here this year. They're playing the last game in Detroit.
In Detroit. So. In fact, I've already got my flight from Orlando in from basketball to do it on Thanksgiving night. So, I shall be there.
Well, we're looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll talk before then.
You got it.
It never ends here.
It never ends. Chris, thanks so much, and I hope the 30th reunion in Butler was a good time.
It was a fantastic time. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks, my friend. Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press. I know we ran over there. We had two options. We could get great information from Chris, or we could run through Matt's complaints. No?
I even wanted the good information from Chris.
That wasn't the plan?
No, that was not the plan. Definitely not.
You sure? I mean, I've got a lot of text messages. He says, where's Matt's complaints? And that was from Roger. No, we'll come back with more in a moment. I know we're way past the bottom of the hour, but just so you know, in the news, they captured the guy in southeastern Philly. I think the news is done here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Homer's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department. Routine, difficult, they handle it all. And what they do is that in the end, when it comes time to trade in for your next SMC vehicle, guess what? Car's in great shape. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So because of Quarterback Club, which ran over today, today we had Pat Kraft and Katron Allen, Hunter Norzad, Keaton Ellis, and, of course, James Franklin ran a little over today. So I apologize for that. So, Matt, I did not get the opportunity to hear all of your complaints.
Well, actually, I saved those for later. While we were waiting for you to come back from Quarterback Club, I was actually sharing everybody an update, which I know you are aware of Max Engel at Jersey Shore and the update that was given yesterday by the Jersey Shore Area School District.
It's just, you really cannot find the proper words for Max. You can't find the proper words for his family. You can't find the proper words for the Jersey Shore community or for the football team or for the players who are all dealing with something they never expected to deal with in life. You cannot find the proper words except that we keep praying that there is a dramatic turn in the right direction. That's the only thing we can pray for at this point. So you just can't find the words for it. It's... because there's obviously nothing any of us can do except think and pray. It's the only thing we can do at this point. And so now we will transition and get you back on track, because there are enough elements in life that are negative that you exploit.
Well, that is true, and this first one I'm keeping college football related. As I'm sure you saw, NCAA denied the appeal for Noah Shannon at Iowa, and which was obviously no surprise. But what just made me shake my head again with the embarrassment this program has become right now, and Kirk Ferentz as himself, especially as coach of this program, he said he's not quite sure what went into NCAA's decision. Are you serious? You know what's pretty embarrassing is the kid has handled this much better than his coach. Between what happened at Big Ten Media Days and exposing him to keeping him available for the media and then pulling back on him to saying he's not quite sure how the NCAA came to its decision. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, okay, let's start with a couple things. what's interesting about this whole thing so far is, why is it just the state of Iowa to this point? It's Iowa, Iowa State. It's interesting how it's so far, it's the only state to this point that has done anything. Now, we know about the Alabama situation and the situation that happened in Ohio. And then there's the other part. It deals with football, men's basketball, wrestling, baseball. Okay, over here in the back, right, you're telling me that there are no other sports where somebody did this and there are no female athletes on campus that may have placed a bet somewhere? Really? In the cross-section of life? This whole thing is a rather strange, don't you think, balancing act to this point. Why just those sports? And why is it the only state so far to have done something like this? And what have they done as a state to weed this out that maybe others have not done? I don't know. I mean, I just think these are fair questions. I'm not saying anything beyond it's just worth asking the question. And Noah Shannon, by the way, was in his sixth year at Iowa. And look, if I'm a coach, I'm asking, like, especially the fact that Shannon has been so open about this, because he has been open about it. So there's no disguising what he did, didn't do. He's been pretty open about it, and being open about it got him nowhere with the NCAA. It got him nowhere. I think he thought being open would help him help himself out, and it turned out it didn't help him in the least. Right? And the NCAA is in an interesting spot right now. I don't really know how to, I don't know, evaluate where they are, what they're thinking, what they're trying to do here. I did not expect Noah Shannon to, so just so you know, Matt, I did not expect Noah Shannon to play this year. I expected they were going to stick with it when it came out. I mean, it's, and I think it's something where you can take, this is from their point of view, a sixth-year player, which is what he is, and you can make an example out of him. And I think that's what they've done here. That's just personal opinion from 30,000 feet. How about that?
Wow, something that logically makes sense coming from the NCAA. Shocking.
I'm just saying that that's, I'm wondering if that's what they've done here. I would at least ask the question. But because obviously other guys have been charged. Shannon has not been charged in the case. Just so everyone understands, Noah Shannon was not charged in the case, but has admitted. And I'd have to go back and look as to what he's admitted. But at least he's tried to be open with everybody about what's been going on. And did it help him in the end? No, it did not help him at all in the end. And I'm sure if I were to pick from the point of view of Kirk Ferentz, I would guess that A, that he wasn't charged, and B, he's been open about whatever role or, you know, that was played or not played in it. Kirk probably thought that might help him in terms of maybe getting a 4-game suspension or whatever. And that's probably the area he's confused about, because in the end they got nothing. See where I'm going here? Because he was not charged.
Right.
So that would be my only explanation as to why he would react the way he did. You know, just a thought.
You sit there and go,
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from with it. It's interesting. You know, we've been kidding about the drive to 325, which right now they're, what are they? They have scored, 45 points so far, two games? They're actually, believe it or not, you know where they are offensively right now? With all this talk about Iowa, offensively, they are currently 127th in total offense out of 133. How about that? Crazy, huh? But there's a way that they play, which we'll get into next week. We'll get into it next week. But there's a way that they play where they want to possess the ball, they want to run the ball, they want to keep the ball underneath, they want to have the ball 33, 34 minutes. They want to make sure you have the ball 26 or 27 minutes. And that's their formula to winning. Right now they're 2-0. So right now what they're doing offensively fits the overall philosophy. Not having Shannon hurts. That's a depth piece. He was going to start. So let's not pretend. Noah Shannon was going to start at defensive tackle. So they take Black, who had been the backup defensive tackle at the other spot, and they've moved him over, and he is now the starter there. But Kirk Ferentz, talked to him a couple times. He thinks very highly of you.
Oh, my almighty!
You know, when I was playing high school football, my starting quarterback, my junior year, ended up going to UConn. He was a teammate at UConn of Kirk Ferentz's. You know that?
I believe you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of just one of those, like, oh, really? How about that? A little different. I sense you're not done yet.
There is one other thing that I have on the docket for today. And that has to deal with, so the NFLPA, of course, has come out and they're going after the NFL for the turf issues, especially at MetLife Stadium after the Aaron Rodgers injury.
So we'll do that after the top of the hour, since we're now approaching, because we'll take a quick commercial break here. Sell a lot of things to cover your salary and, you know, you worry me. And then we'll hear about what you think about turf, because I believe you just you just astroturf your entire yard.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Little Luke, who was hoping to cut it repeatedly like 5 times a week, was really disappointed.
No, he still cut it regardless. If it's grass, artificial or not, he'll cut it.
Look, Dad, it's the same length as yesterday. Where are we going here? And little Mark, it's tough, dummy. Brothers, nothing like brothers.
That's right.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.